There we go. All right. I would agree with all of that for sure. And we are so excited that you're here. Who is here for the very first time? Lots of you for the very first time. Awesome. We're so glad you're here. There's only three people in the room who have been here for 10 years. That's myself, Nicole, and Amber. So we've got the 10-year thing going, all right? And many more who've been here almost that long, and just a lot of in between of that. But it's been such a special time. But we're just ready to say, here's to year 10 of Fall Bible Getaway for sure. Every year, God turns this weekend into something so special beyond what we can imagine. But this year, ladies, I just have a sense that there is something extraordinarily special that's going to happen in this house. And it's going to be a really big year for Fall Bible Getaway, year number 10. So I, like Nicole, definitely remember that first day of that first Fall Bible Getaway. We were so nervous. We really had no idea what we were doing at all. And yet we were so excited all at the same time. It was kind of a roller coaster of the low of the septic tank nightmare and the high of, oh my goodness, God's going to do some really amazing things here this weekend. And you know what? He did. By the end of that weekend, when it was time to go home, we had been with Jesus. He had filled our hearts, and we had built this sisterhood. There were women that came. We didn't know each other, and we built a sisterhood that many are still in those relationships today, and we knew we would never be the same. And now here we are again, 10 years later. It's just amazing to me. And so can we, for any of you who've been here before, can you participate in this? And for any of you who are here for the first time in expectation of what God's going to do, can we give a shout out for year 10 of Fall Bible Getaway? Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. I think that I have pretty much met everyone in the room. I was trying to catch everyone as you came in. But if I didn't meet you, like Nicole said, my name is Sharon Thomas, and I have the privilege of leading you in God's Word this weekend. And it is truly the joy of my heart to open up the Bible with you and just explore the treasures that are there. And that's what we're going to do this weekend. And I'll share more about that in just a moment. But as we get started, I want to mention three things. Most of you know that Established Footsteps is the host ministry of this weekend. And I know that many of you are very familiar with who we are, but as we always have new people coming in, we always want to make sure that we get acquainted with everyone from Established Footsteps from that standpoint. So let me just share. Established Footsteps is a ministry that was really born out of a burden that God put on my heart and a work he did in my own life of helping me to see how important it is that I walk in the truths of God's word. And so the mission of Established Footsteps is to come alongside people and encourage them to walk in the truths of God's word, to love his word, so that we want to do that. We've actually been in ministry for over 17 years now, hard to believe. You can find us online in a lot of places if you want to check us out on Facebook, Instagram. We'd love for you to follow us there. We post things. We do online Bible study. There's quite a few in the room who've been doing 23 Strong all year long. Let's go, you 23 Strong girls. We're making it. 23 Strong is a program we've been running all year long every month. There's still 2 months to go. You can still join in just this week. You know, I was like, Lord, I don't know that I can do 23 Strong and get this going at the same time. But oh my goodness, the Lord has just broken open some things in my heart from what we've been studying, the Sermon on the Mount, which was our theme last year at Fall Bible Getaway. But this week, sitting out there early in the morning watching the sunrise and literally having my flashlight so I could have my Bible open and be studying, and the Lord has just broken some things open in my heart. So special. So we would love for you to join in on that even, you know, in the couple months that are left for the year of November and December. You can find out about all that stuff on our website, as well as many other things that we do. Fall Bible Getaway is one thing that Established Footsteps does. It is my favorite, but it is one thing. So there's a lot of things. So you can explore that if you'd like on establishedfootsteps.com. If you've got any questions about EF, I'd love to share more about it. But that just really takes me to the second thing that I want to share. And it's a memory from the very first night of Fall Bible Getaway. I can remember that night, Nicole, who's our host for the weekend. And by the way, she's not just been on this team for 10 years. She has filled the role of host for 10 years. And at the beginning, she was the registration director. She was the creative director. I mean, she did all of those things. And so can you just give her a special hand for 10 years of being here? has poured out over the last 10 years, and even just this year, the sacrifice to be here, incredible, like so inspiring to me and many who have watched, you know, some things play out. But not only Nicole, but I'm so thankful for everyone here on this team, each one of them this year especially. And this is one of the reasons why I think that God has some special things in store, because there has just been some really, really challenging things happening in almost every one of our team members' lives. And yet they made a commitment and they've shown up with joy. They've shown up with giving everything they've got, their expectation of the Lord, and ready and willing to sacrifice. Jessica, our prayer director, said to me the other day, she said, you know, fire falls on sacrifice. And we're asking for the fire revival this weekend. And so I'm just so thankful for this team. Can you give a shout out to them as well? Yeah, so good, so good. But that first night, I remember being in the bathroom. I was brushing my teeth and Nicole comes in and jumps up on the counter and sits down to face me. And she said, I think that retreats are going to be the future of Established Footsteps. And I just looked at her because we had had a kind of good night. There had been a lot of hiccups already, and I wasn't so sure about that. And we had been doing ministry as Established Footsteps for a while, and we had seen God do some pretty amazing things. So I wasn't sure about that, but she was. And you know what? The memory that word she gave stirs up in my heart now, because she was right. She was right. If I could have seen then, you know, God doesn't always give us what, you know, the full vision of things, right? Because we can't handle it. But if I could have seen then what I had seen God do over the last 9 years at this retreat, I wouldn't have been able to contain it. And, you know, if you've been here, you know, right? There's just some really special things that happen here. God meets us. He speaks to us in powerful ways, and his glory fills the space. His glory fills us, and we're never the same. In fact, year 4 of Fall Bible Getaway was called Filled Up. And that year literally changed my life. It totally changed my life. And so this isn't just something that we do for you. We come expectant too. And God has worked in our hearts. So the reality is now, you know, 10 years later, after she popped on the counter that night to tell me that, God has given Established Footsteps a dream of having a house like this at the shore and hosting many retreats like this throughout the year. In fact, we're so convinced of that. We already have a name. It's called The Father's House. We're calling Fall Bible Getaway the signature retreat of those retreats. And as far as we're concerned, this weekend, ladies, you're in the Father's House. So let me be the first to welcome you to the Father's House this weekend. We have prayed over this house. It's going to be an amazing space. All right? So that brings me to the third thing that I want to share as we get started. And it actually goes way back to before Established Footsteps was even begun. And it's a testimony to God doing more than we could ask, imagine, or even think about. Many of you know, if you know me personally, I am a beach girl. I love the beach. I've dreamed of living at the beach. Getting to do ministry at the beach would be even better. See, in my mind, if I think of life being at its happiest, it always involves, you know, being at the shore. So about 20 years ago, my family and I, we had been in ministry down in the South in Atlanta and Alabama, and we were moving back to the 757. And I was so excited about coming back because I wanted to get near the coast, you know, living even 5 hours inland had done me in, and I was ready to get back to the coast. But I was also a little nervous, and I was coming home kind of broken. Our ministry years down there had been good, but it had been hard. And so there was, you know, all this fresh start stuff going on in my mind. I think I was a little dreamy-eyed about some of the fresh starts. But I was also a little nervous because, you know, we got to make new relationships. You got to get established, all of that. But things went well, made new friends, all of that. A couple years into it, I was sitting with some girlfriends one night, and I threw this idea out. Let's do a girls' weekend at the beach. And I didn't know, you know, how they would take it, but they were like, oh, yeah. And I mean, the plans just started rolling. And we were going to have this girls' weekend at the beach. So it was totally like a dream come true for me, because some of my struggles down in Atlanta had been just real lonely. And so now to have friends, to get to go to the beach together, this girls' weekend and all this stuff, I just thought it's just going to be really, really amazing. But let's just say my expectations for that weekend didn't go at all like I planned. And for many deeply disappointing reasons, when that weekend was over, I came home with a really broken heart. Now, I can be dramatic at sometimes. So I don't know if you're dramatic. I can be dramatic sometimes. So I imagine that in some ways, I was probably, as I look back on it now, I probably made things a little bit more dramatic than they were. But there were some real disappointments there. And I think as I look back now as well, one of the main reasons I was disappointed is because deep in my heart, there were some dreams for what I knew weekends like this could be. And how many of us know God meets us in our dreams, He meets us in our drama, He meets us in our disappointments, right? With good, good gifts. And oh, what a gift He's given us in Fall Bible Getaway. See, when our first Fall Bible Getaway ended, I didn't go home with a broken heart. I went home with a very full heart. And I remember thinking, Lord, what you did at this weekend was so beyond my expectations. And it was so redemptive of everything that seemed to fall apart at that other weekend years ago. And little did I know, He was just beginning something that He was going to continue and grow way beyond what happened even that first weekend. So I want you to know some of the backstory of what you're sitting in now and what you're going to experience this weekend. I want you to know you're going to experience many, many blessings. Every year, there's blessings. We watch with eyes wide open to see what God's going to do here. And every year, he packages it in different ways. But there's just blessings. I know He has blessings for each and every one of us. But you know what? The main blessing of this word, or this weekend, is going to be God's word in your life. God's going to speak to you. I know that I know that I know the biggest blessing you're going to receive here this weekend is God's going to speak to you from the treasure of His word. We're going to be in God's word all weekend. I hope you brought your Bibles, all right? And I fully believe that time in God's word is going to be a revival for your soul. Because I don't know what kind of dreams are hidden in your heart, right? And I don't know what kind of disappointments or maybe drama has happened in your life. Maybe things that have just really left you in places where you just don't even feel like you have breath maybe anymore. But I want to share a verse with you from Psalm 119 that's going to frame our weekend. And let me just say, I know you all decorated your folders. Let me see them. Kind of hold them up. They look so beautiful. All right. Rebecca Wood, who's been at Fall Bible Getaway many times, she said, I was getting a little panicky when there wasn't a folder on my bed. Because we always leave the folders on the bed. So always switching it up, but your folder's beautiful. But inside that folder, if you look in your folder on the left-hand side, there is a copy of Psalm 119. It's just like the one we sent you via email. It's a copy of the Psalm 119 in the NASB, which is what I teach from. So you're more than welcome to use your own Bible, use that alongside, use one or both. We just wanted to give that to you because sometimes some of the things we dig into are very word specific and the wording might be different in the NASB. There's also a note page on the right side. We'll give you a note page for every one of the sessions. You might have your own journal, whatever. That's fine too, but we just like to provide that for you, okay? But in Psalm 119, there is a verse. It's near the end, verse 162, and it says, I rejoice in your word as one who finds great treasure. Let me say that again. I rejoice in your word as one who finds great treasure. See, did you know that when you hold your Bible in your hands, you're literally holding a treasure. You're holding a treasure. A treasure that literally has the power to revive you and everyone around you. So you think about a treasure. Have you ever found a treasure? Like, has anybody ever, like, found, like, a treasure chest of jewels in the ground? You opened it up, and there was money and gold, and anybody? I didn't think that anyone would, but you never know, you know, you never know. But let's think a little bit broader as we think of treasure instead of just that traditional image of a treasure. Maybe you have been shopping and you found such an amazing something, whatever that was, and you were so excited about it. You told everybody about it. That would be a treasure. You were rejoicing in your treasure if you found something like that. I know I'm a real thrifty girl. Like, I don't go to thrift stores much, but like, I can find the deals in places. And when I do, that's like finding a treasure. And I tell my husband, and I tell my mom, right? Because I found something that's special, all right? Maybe when you found your best friend or you found your spouse, you know, a lot of times what starts happening in your heart, you have that excitement, you know, that sense of happiness there. And you found this treasure in a person. In fact, you might have even said to them, "You are such a treasure to me," right? Maybe you've said that to your child. You know, you look in their sweet little face when they're being nice, you know, and you say, "You are such a treasure to me." You don't have to tell me the other things that you say when they're not being like that, but right. No, our children are treasures. And by the way, one of our staff people is my child, Mackenzie. Not sure where she's at right now, but and she's carrying my first grandbaby, so excited about that too. All right. So, anyway. But, you know, there's that sense of treasure. Or maybe think about, you know, if you've ever found something when you're walking on the beach. Like, maybe you found a beautiful shell, or you found a piece of sea glass. You know, as much as I love the beach, and I've found a lot of amazing shells over the years, I have never found a piece of sea glass. And I really would like to find some, because to me, sea glass, yes, it's beautiful, but it holds kind of a special meaning, like almost in a spiritual way. Let me explain what I mean. See, you think about sea glass, it starts out as something broken, right? And somebody just throws it without a thought, you know, into the ocean, or somehow it just, you know, ends up there, just kind of thrown away. But over time, as it's immersed in the ocean and just kind of washed by the waves, it's transformed into something really beautiful and valuable. When it comes up on the shoreline, it's valuable to people. And literally, to me, that picture holds an image of who we are in Christ. We too start out broken, right? We're broken, little value. Maybe we've been tossed to the side. And yet, when our lives become immersed in Christ, he washes us with the water of his word, and he brings us forth as something new and something to be treasured. Now, you might have not have ever thought of sea glass that way, and you might think, wow, you're spiritualizing something that's just little or whatever. That's just the way my Bible teacher brain, you know, was kind of wired. But all that to say, I would really like to find a piece of sea glass. And if I did, I would treasure it. I would probably like post a picture on my Instagram and say, look what I found. And I'd tell some of you, I found a piece of sea glass. Maybe that'll even happen this weekend. See, when we find a treasure, this sense of excitement and joy takes over our heart. You're not like, oh, I found a treasure, right? I mean, there's something that happens on the inside of you and on the outside of you because you found something really special. You almost can't help yourself. You talk excitedly, you tell your friends, you might jump up and down, there might be some tears of joy, whatever the treasure is, you know, kind of matches whatever is going on in your heart and your expression, you found a treasure. See, the idea of treasure is representative of something that we want, something that we need, something we long for, something valuable to us beyond what maybe we thought we would ever have, but now we've found it. And see, that's what the writer of Psalm 119, who, by the way, I believe it's David. There's no specific assurance that we know of who wrote Psalm 119. Many Bible scholars think it was David. I'm going to teach this weekend as if it was David because I agree with that, okay? But that's what he meant when he wrote, "I rejoice in your word as one who finds great treasure." He's excited. He's, you know, elated that he has found this thing that means so much to him. He's like, look how amazing, you know, this is. This is more than I hoped for. I needed this so much. See, his soul had found something that was going to do something for him that he really needed. And I believe it was revival. In my own life, I remember very distinctly when I discovered the treasure of God's word. To be clear with you, it wasn't like I'd never read my Bible before or anything like that. In fact, I was 29 years old, and I probably had owned, 10 Bibles by the time, this happened. The reality was there had been, many, many times and many ways that I had interacted with the Bible, but I had never seen my Bible as a treasure. But then, God's grace, how many of you have experienced God's grace in many ways in your life, right? His grace to show me the value of what I truly held in my hands. See, the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to see His Word, the Holy Bible that we hold in our hands. It's a treasure. See, my Bible was not just a book with words on a page. It was something that I could open up. And there were letters inside that Bible. And each one of these letters formed words. And each one of these words formed phrases. And then these phrases turned into sentences, and then paragraphs, and then chapters, and then books. And all those books were put together. And all of that together represents and actually is the words of the God of the universe speaking to us. Each letter then filled all into those things, and all of that has the power to transform me, and it has the power to transform you. Seeing God's word as a treasure changed everything for me, and I mean everything. Not long after that happened, I'll never forget, we were out with some friends, people we knew well. They were Christians, we were Christians. They had known us a long time, and I just could not stop talking about the Bible that night. I mean, I was like, literally like, look at this. Do you know what God said in such a touch? And look at this. Look at this. I want, just like you would be if you had a treasure chest in front of you and you were pulling out, oh my goodness, look at this coin. Look at this. And that's the way I was talking. And my friend looked at me and he said, Sharon, you're talking about the Bible like you've never read it before, like you just found it or something. And I said, I did. He was right. Now that happened to me almost 30 years ago. In other words, a long time ago. But you know what? I thought God's word was a treasure then. Oh my goodness, what a treasure God's word is to me today. For so many reasons. This weekend we're going to talk about one of those reasons. One of those reasons. And it's a reason that I believe affects every single person on this planet, whether they think it does or not. See, have you ever heard the phrase, one man's trash is another man's what? Another man's treasure, right? What does that mean? Well, it means that what one person thinks isn't valuable, somebody else is going to think it's really valuable, right? The point is, people don't always treasure the same things, and hence the reason we say one man's trash, another man's treasure. And I'm sure you realize that not everyone treasures God's word, right? Even many believers. I mean, I told you, I was one of those people. I had been a Christian for a long time. I certainly respected the Bible at that time in my life. I knew it was important. I even read it sometimes, but it wasn't a personal treasure to me. And maybe you can relate. And yet, you know what? That doesn't change the value of what God's word really is. See, the value of many things in this life is left up to man's opinion. That's why we say one man's trash is another man's treasure. But God's word is different. It stands in a category all its own. Man doesn't get to decide what God's word is. God does. And he tells us in his word that it is a treasure for every person who will treasure it. And one of the reasons is because God's word has the power to bring about something that everybody on this planet is longing for. And ladies, that something is revival. Did you know that everybody is looking for revival? They're searching for it. They're longing for it. They're hoping and desperate for it. And I'm not just talking about religious people or church people. Everyone. And I mean everyone is longing to be revived. See, there's something in every single person that knows there's more than what they're living, right? Something in every person that longs for better than what they've experienced. Something in every soul that longs to rise up from the brokenness around them and certainly within them. Now, I realize there are many people who would never use the word revival. It's not even in their vocabulary, and they certainly don't think that God would have what they're craving or striving for. But the reality is, we see the longing for revival in people all around us every single day. It doesn't matter if you're a believer in Jesus or not. We see the search to gain more money, more authority, more possessions, more pleasure, more beauty, more education, more, right? We see the search to experience better, right? We see these self-help pursuits all around us, spans every segment of life. And what they reveal is a longing deep inside of people that something's got to be fixed. There's something broken in here, right? Which is why we also see this search for how to rise up. How do you get out of the depression? How do you get out of the poverty? How do you get out of the anxiousness, the shame? Whatever it is that has sucked the life breath right out of people, we're all searching for something, right? And all of this searching reveals a knowing that we all have within us. We were made for more. We were made for more than what we're experiencing. Something's not right, or something is missing, or something has to be revived in our souls. And so we think, if I look long enough, if I search far enough, if I work hard enough, certainly I can fix this. But the reality is, the treasure for revival is right here. It's in God's word. See, David, who wrote, "I rejoice in your word as one who finds great treasure," that verse 162 in Psalm 119, also had written in the same chapter of Psalm 119, over and over again, "Revive me, O Lord, revive me, O Lord, revive me." And he came to the point where he realized the treasure of revival's in God's word, because we see that in his prayers. See, it is God's word that brings the revival we long for. That's one, only one, of the reasons it's such a treasure. And this weekend, we're going to lean into that revival and explore that a lot. We're going to explore the treasure of it. And a great place to do that is right here in Psalm 119. Now, Psalm 119, longest chapter in the Bible, right? For those of you who copied all 176 verses, you know it's the longest chapter in the Bible because you copied every one of those verses. And you probably also noted that it's divided into sections, right? And it had these funny words at the top. And you might be like, what is that? That's the Hebrew alphabet. And it's kind of like an acrostic. Now, we don't know the Hebrew alphabet. You might. I don't. But that's why we gave the numbers to the different sections, because we want you to be able to access them, you know, quickly in that way. We are not going to cover all of Psalm 119 this weekend, okay? We definitely can't touch every part. It's so rich. There's so much there. But we are going to look at a lot of it. And as we read it, what we see is it's basically like eavesdropping on David's prayers. He prayed to God, and we get to see them. And in his prayers, we literally see that he is all over the place, right? He's all over the place. He's up, and then he's down. He's trusting, and then he is in total anguish, right? He is full of despair, and then he is like elated with faith. He is ready to give up, and then he is like, we're going to be faithful. I'm going to do this diligently and every day and all the things, right? Over and over again, David needed a soul revival. He absolutely did. And you know what? We do too. Because our prayers are probably all over the place a lot of times as well. But that's one of the reasons why I love this psalm so much. Because it's raw and it's real. And we literally get to see how God's word takes David to a place of revival. So we're going to be looking at the specific treasure of Psalm 119 all weekend. And our prayer is that in doing so, our souls are going to experience revival. See, we don't want to just talk about revival this weekend. We want to experience revival. See, probably in most of our minds, we have an image of what revival might be, or what it's associated with, or what kind of moment or whatever. And I imagine it's kind of varied in our minds. For me, when I hear the word revival, I immediately think of when I was a little girl and, you know, the old school revival meetings. We used to have once a year, and they would call it revival, and our church would always invite some outside pastor and some special gospel group to come in and sing, and we'd go to church every night of the week, and, you know, you're just exhausted by the end of the week, but we talked about revival all week, and we sang about revival and all the things. But, you know, as I look back now, I don't even think I knew what revival meant. you just did that, and then you said, oh, yeah, we had revival last week, you know? I didn't know what that was. So I don't know what, you know, you think about when you think about revival. We're going to talk about what, you know, revival actually is. But maybe in your mind, too, revival makes you think about certain seasons of history or certain moments that have happened, because there are certainly, if you've done any kind of study at all about revival through the ages, there are, you know, revival movements. I mean, huge revival movements of God that have taken place, you know, all over the place. Even just this year, you might have heard about the Asbury, you know, revival at Asbury Christian University. Or you might have watched the movie that came out last spring called The Jesus Revolution that was all about, you know, the Jesus movement that swept through our nation in the late 60s and, you know, early 70s. These were all movements of God, His Spirit just sweeping across, you know, either a nation or a campus or a area of a certain part of a country. And people's souls would just get revived. Like, they would be you know, in love with Jesus, because Jesus would be revealed to them in a really special way. Conviction of sin happens in revival, and repentance happens, and salvation, and hope comes, and truth, and encouragement, and peace, and joy, and love. All the good gifts that God gives out of His heart as He brings us to a place of resurrection life. But here's something we need to acknowledge about all revivals. If you study revivals at all, there's one thing that is always constant, always present when true revival takes place, and that is God's Spirit moving through His Word. God's Spirit moving through His Word is the common denominator in every revival. Even in the Old Testament, one of the major times that there was a revival in the nation of Israel was when Josiah was brought the word of God from one of the prophets, and he literally found it like in a closet in the temple. I mean, that's how much they had just put the Bible, not the Bible, it wasn't put together like that, but the word of God, the law of God, it had just been hidden away. They didn't even know they had it, really. And Josiah discovered it, and then he brought it out to the people, and he called the people to humble themselves before the word of God, and there was a major revival that swept through the whole nation as all of the people turned their souls to the living God. See, the treasure of revival is the Word of God, meaning the Word of God is what brings revival about. Now, I personally would love to see a big move of God across our country, across our world, right? We're in this amazing space this weekend, but, like, horrible things are happening in other parts of the world right now, right? I would love to see a revival sweeping. I pray for that. I hope you pray for that. But just as important, I need a personal revival every single day. I need God's Spirit to sweep across my soul and raise me up out of the pit of discouragement or worry or unbelief or disobedience or ignorance or sin or strife or all the things that are broken in our lives. And I'm sure, you know, that there are things that maybe you come here this weekend hoping God's going to speak to you about or revive in your soul. You know, there are things we know about in our lives that need to be revealed, and a whole lot more that we don't even realize, right? God knows, and He's like, I want to revive this in you. I want to do something. The wonder of God's glory is we literally can experience revival every day because we hold the treasure that produces revival in our hands, God's word. David said, I rejoice in your word as one who finds great treasure. May every single person in this room be able to say the same thing when this retreat ends. You know what? Fall Bible Getaway Year 10, we're going to be cheering revival on all weekend long, so I hope you're ready. In fact, I would say to you, the reason that this retreat has been a revival of weekends over the years is because every year we've put God's word on display all weekend long, in every moment, and that's what's brought about revival. See, we love Fall Bible Getaway, and I know some of you who are new, you're probably going like, okay, enough on the year 10, you know? All right, I get that, you know? It's kind of like if you haven't been a part of something, and you come in, and people are excited. But I want to totally acknowledge that FBG is not special in and of itself. If God's word wasn't put on display and made the main focus, if we hadn't been relentless about that, and really that wasn't us, that was God urging us to do that, left to ourselves, who knows what this thing would have turned out to be. But him doing that, if we hadn't done that, Fall Bible Getaway would just be another girls' weekend at the beach. And we know those can go one way or another. But there's been a constancy and a relentlessness to make God's word be the center. Because deep in our hearts, we know it is the revival of our souls. It's the foundation, the substance, the focus, the joy. And because of that, God is moved. And that's why we can, according to his word, expect a move of God this year. So ladies, I'm ready. Our team's in ready, is ready too. And we want you to know we've been praying over you for that. Like, we've been relentless about praying for you. I think Jessica texted or let you know when it was your day, okay? So hopefully you got that message. But literally, we started in July, and every one of you, including ourselves, we were all in on this, but our team prayed the entire chapter of Psalm 119 over you on your day. And that's just when it was your day. We were also praying over us as a group. There are many people not here that have been pouring over you and praying over you for this weekend. You might not know this, but the theme verse of Established Footsteps, the foundation verse of Established Footsteps, comes right from Psalm 119. It's in verse 133. It says, "Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let sin have power over me." We want that to happen this weekend. We're going to experience that revival. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. So let's all take a deep breath and hold our hearts and our hands open. And I'm going to pray. God, I thank you so much for every person that's in the room. We still have a handful of people coming who were caught in traffic, and Lord, we just pray that you would make their way here soon, safely. God, we are so expectant for what you have in store for us this weekend. Your word is a treasure. You didn't have to give it to us. You didn't have to speak to us, but you did, and oh my goodness, the brilliancy of your word, the way it sparkles, the way it shines, the way it speaks into our lives and lifts us up out of the pit over and over again. God, may that happen in this house this weekend. May that happen in every life, God. We're so grateful. Lord, we're going to be so blessed this weekend to be able to eat good food that we didn't have to fix. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. And I pray that there will be joy around the table as we enjoy this food. We thank you for it. And I just pray for the conversations that are going to take place around the table, too, that they will be as rich, as good, and as satisfying as the food is, too, Lord. We ask your blessing on this weekend. We invite your Holy Spirit to be here amongst us, in us, through us, working in us, watching over us, protecting us, God. We love you. We're so expectant. Be the revival of our souls this weekend as you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.